Everybody, this is Steven and Justin, and I suppose Justin should probably intro the show because he came up with the name for it and everything like that. I don't know why I started.
That's okay. I'm not terribly upset about it. I mean, I think everybody's been waiting this long. They probably wanted to hear your voice first anyways.
Well, they can hear my voice every, I was going to say every week, but nope, not on the Southwest. but they haven't probably heard from you in God knows how long. I should actually look that up, see how long it's actually been since we did an episode of the show.
I think it was December 2011.
That is... I wasn't even alive back then. That was like my grandparents. We were fighting the war still.
It's different times.
Pre-mission accomplished, let me tell you. Am I right? Yeah. Anyway, yeah, this is suspended license. Slowly spiraling down already. the 16-month tailspin that has been the history of this show.
It's been pretty long, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, man. To put this in perspective, you have a human being in your house that wasn't there before. Like,
nope.
That came since then.
Yeah, like, I think when we recorded last, I was like a week away from even like telling anyone that we were expecting, and now I have him now. So it's been a pretty long time.
Right, like that was, oh man, yeah. So in the time between this episode 2 and now episode 3, like a life was gestated, born, has become cognizant, has basic motor functions.
He's got a job.
Yeah, a mustache.
Going to college, yeah.
Yeah, girlfriend already. already more successful than either of us. It was a little sad.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, anyway, this is a podcast. This is Suspended License, where we talk about different properties in video games, or different properties in popular fiction in general that... could be made into video games, but haven't been, or haven't been in a long time, or could be, or should be, or eventually will be, and what we think we would like to see those games become. Previously, we've done an episode on Blade Runner and an episode on Planet of the Apes, which you can go back and listen to. It should all be appearing in the normal feed at the normal time, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this week we're going to be doing an episode based on The Last of Us, which we are, I swear to you, both fully cognizant of the fact that that is a video game already, but we are doing an episode on a sequel, an inevitable sequel to the smash hit The Last of Us.
Right. I mean, previously we had done, two movies, and we'd even started preparing for an episode about a book, but that kind of fizzled out. But we like the idea of approaching a property that already existed in the video game space and has a lot of potential to go somewhere else. And The Last of Us kind of seemed like the most relevant topic to discuss at the moment. So
right. It's such a hard game to make a sequel of. Like, that is what everybody talks about when, I mean, the sales for The Last of Us are in, and it sold gangbusters, even in America, not just in North America, but in Europe and even Japan as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there will clearly be a sequel.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't have a incredible team like the people at Naughty Dog put together a game like that and just have it go one-off, They're not going to spend all that money against something that's only going to exist once,
That being said, I think it was Neil Druckmann, the head writer at for the game, not necessarily the head writer of Naughty Dog, but the head writer for The Last of Us, who said that he would... Oh, no, sorry, never mind. I'm confusing this with Dishonored, but I was going to say that he was thinking about making this a one-off game, but I think he might have said something along those lines, that they were... that he part yeah, of they, them wanted...
Yeah. Right, he said that they told the story they wanted to tell, but not... but then he did clarify later, I think, to Kotaku that that doesn't mean that we will never ever see Joel and Ellie again. It just means that in this game, they told the story they wanted to tell. So this story is done, but Joel and Ellie could definitely participate in games in the future. I kind of left that open to interpretation. And I think it's worth bringing up that we have games like The Last of Us and another game, I guess that was similarly, people thought ended really well with something like BioShock, where nobody really wanted to see a sequel to that. They thought it ended perfectly. And in retrospect, did you really need a sequel to it? No, you kind of didn't. But BioShock 2 came out to middling success, I suppose. But then BioShock Infinite comes out, and that's kind of a semi-sequel, not exactly, but it's kind of set in a similar universe. So they kind of proved, at least Irrational proved, that you can do a sequel and make it just as good, if not better, than the original.
Right.
If there's going to be a developer that can tackle a sequel to a game like The Last of Us, man, I'm glad it's Naughty Dog.
Absolutely. Like, you look at Naughty Dog's track record with, you know, not even just, you know, Uncharted. Uncharted 2 was obviously a better game than Uncharted 1, which was very good. And there's quite a bit of debate about the quality of Uncharted 3. But they have a track record of making, you know, sequels that don't feel forced. They don't feel annualized and soulless. They feel like they make games and game series that because they want to tell these stories with these characters in these universes, and not because someone said, well, these games sell, so you have to make more, which I'm sure is part of it, but it seems like they are able to wrest a certain amount of creative and thematic control.
Right. Right. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, it's actually interesting that you mentioned, like, specifically, we might not ever see Joel and Ellie again, or, like, that people were afraid that you might not see Joel and Ellie, that you used those words specifically, because that, I think, is kind of one of the biggest points of controversy, or not controversy necessarily, but one of the biggest points of interest about a possible sequel is, like, do we go back to the world of The Last of Us with a completely new cast, or do we see Joel and Ellie, or just Ellie now all grown up, or what do we do, you know, from a cast perspective?
Sure. And I guess we should clarify at this point that if you haven't already played The Last of Us, then maybe don't listen to this, because we'll probably bring up spoilers at some point.
So. Oh, God, yeah. We are going to spoil the fuck out of it. Yeah.
So the ending of the game, let's kind of bring that up real quick just to kind of figure out, give us a setting for where we left off.
Let's set the mood. Let's bring the lights down low.
So basically, Joel is kind of an asshole. He's kind of insane. and he did an incredibly selfish thing, and kept Ellie to himself as opposed to sacrificing her to save the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think discussing the nuance of that ending could be left to another podcast, but that's kind of the gist of it. You had a chance to save the world, and your character did not. That doesn't mean that you, the player, didn't want to, but your character made the decision for you. So,
That was a point of controversy. Like, I know lots of people were upset that you did not get the choice at the end.
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, it's a Naughty Dog game. It's not it's not Skyrim. It's not something that is entirely dependent on choice.
No, totally. I agree. I love the way the game ends. I love that they told you a story rather than said, hey, here's the white ending and here's the black ending, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, giving you that arbitrary choice. I mean, but that would have felt so incredibly cheap if, like, you built up all of this, and then at the end you're just like, press A to save Ellie, press B to kill Ellie, you know?
Pull the left trigger to sob in a corner, pull the right trigger to pull the trigger on this gun face.
So at the end of the game basically leaves us with Joel and Ellie at Joel's brother's camp.
So they got a hydroelectric dam where they
And Joel just flat out lied to Ellie and said that, you know, they couldn't find a cure, so he took her back.
Mm-hmm.
regret or sort of forgetting to inform her that he also killed half of the Fireflies there. But
also that she could have been the cure to the virus that is destroying the world.
Right, right.
Has destroyed the world, in fact.
Right. So she is an important figure throughout the game, and an important figure still even after the game, you know. So I guess that kind of... Where do you kind of see this branching off? Do you see a story that continues with Joel and Ellie? Do you see one with just Ellie, just Joel? What else after that? And I guess we should bring up that they are doing at least one package of single-player DLC. They haven't announced exactly what that's going to be yet, but...
Clash in the Mushroom Clouds and Spore Clouds. We knew you guys loved all of the combat of The Last of Us, but that darn story got in the way, so right. Here's your challenge, right. Rooms. First and foremost, I want to get it out of the way, like, no prequels, please, no prequels.
The last thing I would really want to see from this is, here's how it all started, you know, like, here's where the virus came from, and blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't care about that. I think what the Last of Us did really well was established a world and then told a story within that world. You don't need to have all of the details. So, another game in this series, what I would love to see is just another story in this world. Whether or not that involves Joel and Ellie, I mean, I guess it's up to Naughty Dog to determine that, but I mean, there in this post-apocalyptic America, post-apocalyptic, I don't know, world, I guess, there's so many stories that could be told.
Sure. And I'm sure we'll see some side stories, like, there's specifically Ishmael-ish, as the game refers to most of the time, like, that is kind of the prevailing theory as to what the actual single-player DLC will be, is, like, Ish's story. Okay. Sort of a Minerva's Den kind of side expansion in that universe with different characters, but, right. Personally, maybe this is just informed by my love of comic books and things like that, but I would love to see the story just push forward, not just in the sense of chronologically, but I would like to see these characters develop over time. Like, we've seen Ellie as a girl. We kind of see the way that the world, you know, ends with Joel. We see the very beginning of his, like, dive into... madness at the right as the world is also beginning to dive into madness, and we jump forward to the end game of his, you know, what has happened to him, and he's become this sociopathic murderer. And then we have Ellie, who is like who throughout the course of this game is experiencing all the things that Joel experienced right when the world went to shit, but with none of the context of what the world was like beforehand. So
right.
We've seen a beginning and a middle and an end, but kind of out of order, which I think is absolutely brilliant thematically, but. Beside the point of that, I would like to see, the story of Ellie growing up around, you know, the rest of this world and stuff. Like, it's told from the perspective of Ellie. I think it is a little bit of a cheap kind of way of, like, sequelizing this, but a more mature Ellie that, like, knows how to take care of herself. I mean, she knew how to take care of herself in the game, obviously, but, like, an Ellie that is going through the things that Joel went through. After that, maybe like that is the arc of this character, and we see maybe a third game where we see Ellie as an older, more grizzled type of like, what is that other character's name? Like Joel's boss, that lady,
yeah,
Eileen, I think.
Something like that. I don't remember all the characters' names, but I could see that was kind of the first thing that popped into my head. Where does Ellie end up in all this? And because her character was so compelling and interesting, and just the way that she interacted with Joel and the way that she saw the world, and she kind of served us kind of as a surrogate almost for the player, in that she was experiencing this world brand new for the first time. You know, she had only been in this area in the Boston quarantine zone, so she didn't really know the world outside of that. So, sharing that experience with her and going across the United States with her and seeing all that as her almost, you know, those so much fun. And where she goes from here, I mean, I like the idea of kind of coming back to Ellie in, you know, 10 or 15 years and she's a little bit older, a little bit wiser. How do you feel about her maybe eventually figuring out Joel's lie? Is that something that would maybe undercut the ending of this game too much, or what do you think?
See, I think that's it. One more thing. By the way, the Tess was the name of Joel's boss. I forgot.
Yeah, Tess.
But yeah, I think it's tough to say because on the one hand you say like, that ruins the ambiguity of the ending of the game. Whereas I don't think there was any ambiguity. I think it was very clear that Ellie, just based on who the kind of character Ellie was, didn't believe Joel for a second, but
yeah,
accepted the answer as like, okay, accepted that he was lying to her, mm-hmm, and knew that that was just the way of things right now. I don't really want, I don't want to see like Ellie going on like a quest to make herself into the cure or something like that. This sort of like messianic quest to save the world or anything like that. I would much rather kind of see her like that whole idea of a cure ever being found kind of dropped completely in favor of some kind of other, you know, MacGuffin.
Right.
You know, I don't know what you do to replace that as the driving the driving narrative though. Like the, unless you go like straight up Mad Max, like let's get all of us get to, you know, paradise kind of thing. But that seems, right, that seems pretty rote too. It's a really tough question.
Right. Especially if you're considering continuing that story. There are a couple different angles you could do with, you know, finding that new, finding a new camp. Maybe their current camp just isn't working out. They need something bigger. But kind of one of the ideas of that in a zombie post-apocalypse that I thought would always be kind of an interesting alley to explore is, have you seen 28 Days Later?
Yes.
So at the end of that, we kind of see the UK, you know, a few months later, and we see zombies kind of starving on the side of the road because they're, a lot of them, they couldn't access food, you know, they couldn't find food, so they just kind of died off.
Mm-hmm.
So the theory is that eventually there will be less and less and less and less zombies as their food sources run out. So the idea that these infected would eventually be less of them. So how do you deal with the reality of the situation that you're in, and, you know, this isn't the America that it used to be. This isn't the civilization that it used to be. And maybe the threat, the overriding threat of these infected is maybe diminished a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do now?
Actually, now that you mention it, actually, it does bring up kind of my one interesting thing. Well, like something that is kind of not the central focus of the game, but is constantly in the background in The Last of Us, is this sort of new American Civil War between the Fireflies, who are the sort of new resistance that are fighting back against the oppressive like military regime, and the current government, which is this martial law kind of government thing. And you never see any kind of major faces of that except for sort of the head of the Fireflies, and that's about it. We never see like the face of this sort of military regime. I think it might be interesting if the zombies just eventually started, like you said, just dying out because there's less meat for them to infect, which Naughty Dog kind of sidesteps by making it an airborne, you know, pathogen, but with fungus spores. But if they find a way to just like contain it just through brute force, and just like it suddenly starts dying off just because there's less people to infect, and suddenly like the spores start dying off because they don't have humans to infect, because we never see them the spores infecting animals of any kind.
Right.
It seems to only affect humans, so maybe eventually that just, you know, it runs out of food, and, you know, it gets isolated to certain quarantine pockets, and so suddenly without the common threat of, you know, the clickers and, you know, whatever else, you know, the runners, and you know, they never really have a full name for the entire species or whatever you want to call it.
I guess it's the infected, I would assume.
The infected, yeah, I suppose. I'm gonna call them the clickers still, because clickers is a great name.
Yeah, that's a lot cooler.
Those things are fucking terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it, like, without the common enemy to kind of sustain their sort of uneasy truce for much longer, I think it might be interesting to see like the old fires of freedom kind of fire up again, and we see like a disgruntled America kind of rise up again against its oppressors, and the oppressors cracking down even more on them, and so maybe setting Ellie, you know, sort of an older Ellie at the backdrop, at the backdrop of this new American Civil War in this future with these quarantined monsters might be kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's actually an interesting angle to take as well, because in the back of Ellie's head, she's got it in her, even though she kind of, she knows that Joel is lying, but she still has to trust Joel with her life. Maybe she, the fact that these, that the, she's kind of no longer needed, perhaps in this version of the future, because if the infection eventually just kind of dies out by itself, mm-hmm. then maybe she's not as important as everyone maybe once thought she was.
Sure.
And you know what? As somebody who recently became a dad, realizing that you're not as important as you once thought you were, that's kind of a big deal. You know, that's kind of a big thing to deal with. So, man, Ellie could go a million different directions just with that alone. You know, struggling to find her own identity in this kind of new American wasteland. You know. She had always defined, she, at least to an extent, she had defined herself, at least throughout this game, that she was this almost a messiah figure. She was going to be the one to save everybody. But, you know, what if she isn't needed anymore? Then what? You know, what does she do now?
Yeah, I mean, part of me thinks that, like, you know, her character as a sort of teenage girl probably didn't want to be the messiah type character, you know, like, mm-hmm. You know, she just probably wanted as close to a normal life as you probably could, but felt responsible to mm-hmm. be as, you know, useful as she could in this society, which, you know, just goes to show how great of a character that is, like how well written. Yeah,
absolutely. Well acted as well.
Oh, God, yes. Absolutely. Just absolutely all around, the acting in that game is fantastic. And but yeah, Ellie, I mean, Ellie is clearly the good guy of that story. Like, mm-hmm. Joel is a villain. Like, he is one of many factions of villains, but, like, he's a villain who happens to be working alongside the hero for, or heroine, I guess, for his own reasons.
Right.
But, yeah, like, I think it would be best if they just never mentioned the whole cure infected thing ever again. Or, like, maybe, you know, you see her, you know, a few years from now, and she's like, the scar has kind of faded a little bit, so nobody really knows what it is exactly. And, you know, she rubs it every once in a while. Like, Joel checks his broken watch every once in a while, but they never really talk about it too much. That kind of thing. I like the idea of, because I think part of my problem with The Last of Us was the whole idea of making Ellie such an important figure. I always find it much more interesting in these sort of post-apocalyptic tales when it's like a much more personal, less epic saga kind of story. I think like an Ellie set against the backdrop of this war, just trying to survive, would be pretty interesting. Like, maybe it starts with her, you know, just out hunting or something like that, but then the military comes after her because they're just trying to find all former associates of the Fireflies, and, you know, she apparently grew up with the Fireflies for a while. So, you know, maybe that's how she's just trying to live her life, trying to live how she wants to live, and suddenly, like, she gets pulled back into this world of, like, politics and, you know, and military dogma and all this stuff, against her will, and just trying to escape from it. You know, might be kind of interesting. A more personal take on just her trying to not get killed.
Right. I mean, that's an interesting kind of gray area to explore, because when you think about it, with especially when it comes to something like a civil war, the Fireflies versus this kind of oppressive government regime, there will definitely be people on the sidelines that don't really care either way. They just kind of want to be able to do their own thing, you know.
Absolutely.
They want to be off by themselves and let them have their fight, you know. And what kind of role would Ellie play in that, you know?
Right. Does she, like, I mean, Joel clearly, like, has no allegiance to either side at the beginning of this game and never does throughout the rest of the game, eventually leading with him killing the leader of the Fireflies, but not because he supports the military or anything. But Ellie, I have to imagine, probably wouldn't hold much allegiance to either side, but maybe she does hold a little special, more of a special place in her heart for the Fireflies than, you know, for the, than for, you know, the rest of humanity. And maybe, at the beginning, when, you know, military starts cracking down on her, maybe some of those feelings rekindle and start showing up. I like that we're just talking about how this could work from a plot and, like, thematic standpoint rather than anything mechanical.
Right. I mean, the mechanics, at least within this game, were so... were pretty well-defined and well-thought-out, I felt. A lot of people had kind of complained that maybe there was maybe a steep curve to the game where maybe the first 4 or 5 hours were too linear. And sure. But when you finally did have all of your tools, the game was incredibly easy to kind of move around and figure everything out. So as far as any sort of updates to the mechanics themselves, the only thing that I would request is a little bit more Uncharted-esque shooting. Not so much the when you're aiming down the barrel and it's just kind of waving around everywhere.
Oh, sure.
You know, it made me really hesitant to use the gun at first, which I guess is kind of a good thing because I guess I ended up going a little bit more stealthy with it. But man, that it didn't make me. It didn't make me go more stealth because that's what I like to do. It made me go more stealth because I couldn't stand shooting. So,
yeah, I think that was definitely intentional. They wanted you to not think of it like a shooter or even necessarily as a stealth game. The way I played that game was, you know, for the first half hour, I kind of sat there trying to stealth my way through everything and then restarting at the checkpoint whenever I got caught. Right. And then almost immediately after that, I was like, this is not how this game is meant to be played. And so the way I played it after that was I tried to stealth it for as long as I could. Then the minute somebody caught me, I used every last thing at my disposal to take them out. So it's like, okay, I've got a stick and I'm going to beat the shit out of this guy. Then I'm going to hide behind this corner real quick. I know they're going to come chasing after me, but I've got this brick. And if I punch him in the face with a brick, I can take him out real quick. And then while he's stunned on the ground, I can take out his partner. And then maybe I'll have some bullets left over at the very end to do like one or two like actual gun sequences on these last two guys. And then that's how I've played. And then I'll heal myself. And,
I guess kind of something else that would be worth it for them to update, especially considering a sequel would likely come on something like the PS4 and not necessarily PS3, so you could take advantage of some of the some more processing power and make the AI a little bit more advanced.
Absolutely, yeah.
There were definitely some times where, let's say, Joel got seen and, you know, he just went and hid and then they stopped looking for him, you know, like...
Oh, what was that?
That's bullshit. You know? I mean, I'm never going to be walking around my house and see a guy with a gun in the distance and then look for him for a minute and then just go back about my time. I'm not going to rest until I find this guy with the gun or get the hell out of there, you know?
Even more than that, I would like to see them kind of find a better workaround to deal with the companion AI and the fact that, like, the companion AI can literally run and bump into an enemy unit and, like, stand right in front of him. But he will be perfectly unaware of their presence, which definitely seemed like a very deliberate choice. Like, okay, if they didn't do this, it would be annoying as hell if this becomes an escort mission all of a sudden.
Right.
But there's gotta be a better middle ground between making it super annoying to have your companion always get caught and, have it so that your companion is just this invisible wraith stalking the jungles of the city of Chicago or whatever.
Right. So I guess that brings up another point in that with a lot of games trying to add that bullet point of co-op, I think it was an interesting choice on Naughty Dog's part to make it an AI companion and not have it player-controlled. It would have been a completely different game if that was the case, but that doesn't mean that in a sequel they couldn't have a player-controlled co-op partner or something in some sequences. There were a couple sequences in Uncharted 3 that had some co-op that were kind of fun, I guess. But
yeah, they had co-op missions, which
I thought.
I think that's a great way to handle it, just to make co-op its own entirely separate entity. The only problem with that is that I'm absolutely positive that it is very resource intensive on the development side. Like, it probably takes a lot of money to do that.
Right, and especially something as complex as what The Last of Us has been trying to do. I wouldn't necessarily want to see them try and do something with co-op, but I guess that would be, they would be a fix at least for the AI issue with the AI companion. Yeah, I'm not sure. I guess it brings up the question of whether you see the see a sequel to Last of Us being something that focuses on the companionship, and is that an integral part to The Last of Us, The Last of Us experience, or is that something that was integral maybe just to this game?
I think it was integral to this story, and I think that if in a sequel they should give that concept a break and just completely hit up entirely new themes altogether and not try to just relive past success narratively. Like, you know, improve upon your gameplay, improve upon your mechanics and the systems and the multiplayer and the netcode and the AI and all that stuff, but don't try to just... make The Last of Us, you know, with Ellie, except now Ellie's got a little boy that she has to protect, and,
right.
You know, like, you just hit up different concepts and different themes and ideas, and then maybe in a third game or something like that, where Ellie's a little bit older, bring that concept back so that we can, like, see the, you know, full 360, but give it a break in between, I think.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a good point. That's a good idea. I think we've got a pretty good groundwork for what a potential Ellie game could be. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and break down the story beat for beat, but, you know, we have a pretty good idea of where they could go with an Ellie-focused game. But what do you think would be some other options? I mean, I remember when Cloverfield first came out, they had talked about doing a sequel to Cloverfield that wasn't necessarily a sequel from the story perspective, but, you know, when you think about it, that monster attacked New York City, and there are millions of people that live in New York City, so
right.
Maybe it's the monster attack from a different perspective. So maybe we're looking at the events of the first game, but from a different perspective.
I mean, the events of that game are so... Because it's not real. The thing that is the best about The Last of Us is not the actual events that happen within that story, it's the events that happened revolving around those two characters. And I just can't think of a single character in that game that is so integrally attached to those characters and, like, to that specific plot. The only thing I could think of doing is, like, Marlene's story of, like, crossing back over to the Firefly territory on her way over. But then we know that almost crosses into the problem with prequels, which is just so we know her ultimate fate. We know Joel's going to put a bullet in her head at the end of it.
Right.
Unless it's a character hanging out with Marlene.
Well, you did kind of bring up the idea that Joel more or less is a villain in this. So is that an idea that could be explored? In that, you know, Joel, by going across the United States, he killed a lot of people.
Absolutely,
And each one of those people, they do have a story, and we got to see some of that, you know, with Sam and his brother. You know, everybody has their own story, so...
Right.
Is there a story out there that, you know, Joel directly affected somebody else's life by going on this mission, and what would that story look like, you know?
I mean, the story that... The only one that jumps to mind immediately is that town with the cannibals that Joel goes to, where they... There's a moment when you're, I believe you're playing as Ellie at that point still. It's right before you switch over to Joel and, like, the snowstorm kicks up and you're running through the city and you can't see them, but you can hear a woman on the other side of some glass and they're talking about children and how they're trying to get them to the church to protect them because the village is burning because Joel is burning it down and the whole place is coming apart and everybody's getting killed around them. You know, one of those characters could probably do it, but, I mean, you'd have to separate them significantly from the Joel Ellie tale, because otherwise you go into Back to the Future 2 territory,
right,
where
right,
it's
right.
Him trying. It's, hey, look at, I'm going to all the famous events of The Last of Us, but I have to make sure that I am, you know, that Joel never sees me in this narrative.
Right.
So, you know, those could be some interesting characters, but I think you'd have to take that forward a little bit, either in a different direction or into the, like, where they, it starts there and branches off from there, or, starts there and then jumps forward a few years and you see, you know, sort of a Kill Bill type thing of, like, I have to track down, you know, this guy who, you know, was a hero in someone else's story. You know, in Kill Bill, you never saw Bill's heroic days or whatever, but he was the hero to somebody. He was the hero to, was it Beatrix?
Beatrix Kiddo.
Beatrix Kiddo. She was, you know, like, Bill was her mentor and her hero at one point in you know, quote-unquote, Kill Bill Volume Zero, the movie we never saw or whatever. And,
right.
And then she eventually had to come track him down after he had become the villain and kill him. And, you know, maybe there's something to say about that, but I think that if you... What works so well about The Last of Us is the dynamic between Joel and Ellie, and I think you can either try to recapture that dynamic with the new characters or just push that story forward. Personally, from a narrative standpoint, I'm always more of a fan of just push it forward until you've told all the story there is to tell, then tell a new story. You know, tell a different story in a different universe with different characters. But for now, you use Joel and Ellie as these characters, at least in this specific case. I think that that is how this has to go. Like in something like The Walking Dead, I think you can tell many, many stories in that universe with different groups of survivors, because while it is like very character driven, there's not that thing where you had with Ellie. And I think that's where Naughty Dog kind of shot themselves in the foot a little bit, is that they just made that story of Ellie, you know, being the cure for the world's so epic. Like, there's nowhere to go on a scale, you know, in sense of scale, there's nowhere to
go. Right, like, yeah, how do you escalate that, you know?
Right. Like I said, you ignore that, and that part of that story is done, and now you tell a different story with the same, with, you know, the characters in a different light, so.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I guess the only concern I would have with the idea of kind of exploring this civil war, where the infected aren't as much of a threat, is trying to I wouldn't want Ellie to become sort of like just observing all these gigantic events happening all around her. I mean, but I wouldn't necessarily want her to be like an integral part to them either, to where she becomes like the Luke Skywalker and, you know, everybody needs to follow her and sure. Blah blah blah, you know. That could go off the rails pretty quickly, and I think that the thing that made The Last of Us that gave it so much weight was that it was a personal story. You're watching this guy kind of develop a relationship with this little girl. So trying to keep it personal and intimate, but having the backdrop of this, you know, this epic war going on behind her. I think that could be tough, but I mean, it's definitely something I think Naughty Dog could tackle.
I think the way you kind of like keep the scale down. Like, you have a war going on between the two factions, but there's just so few humans left that the scale of the war is just not what it, you know, it's not like tanks rolling across battlefields and stuff like that. It is, you know, very guerrilla tactics, like basic raids in these like little shanty towns of like these 10,000 people or whatever is like the biggest city in that entire universe now. And, you know, see that kind of stuff rather than these like big epic, like, you know, remember the Alamo type moments. And, you know, I think the way you kind of keep it more personal is you just have Ellie, like I said, you tie back into Ellie's like past the Fireflies, maybe even discuss a little bit about Ellie's mom. You know, that is maybe the answer to the, you know, the middle ground between finding a new characters to tell stories about, or, you know, finding a new dynamic and keeping the old characters. Like, we saw Joel fall in love with Ellie, you know, and become her like new father figure and stuff like that. So maybe we tell it from the perspective of Ellie now, who is the character who is the child in this case. You know, she is the child to the parents, and maybe that is the new dynamic that we explore, is, you know, rather than like saying like, here's what it's like to be a parent. Like, let's say like, here's what it's like to be living in the shadow of your parents, or to be maybe not even living in the shadow, but, you know, here's what it's like to grow up, you know?
Right. I mean, to grow up with sort of this, this fate, assigned to you, and basically it didn't pan out, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah. Like, her destiny fizzled out.
Right. Right.
Because of him too.
Right. Yeah, directly because of Joel. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of interesting that we haven't even really brought up Joel and what his place would be in a sequel, or if he even has one, you know?
I mean, the two places that you could see, that I could see it going are, is you have, I would almost like to see, like, it bouncing, you know, we bounce between Joel and Ellie from a gameplay perspective once in the game,
Mm-hmm.
I would almost like to see that happen multiple times, sort of Max Payne 2 style.
Okay.
Seeing, like, maybe they get split up, and that is kind of, maybe, like, one of them ends, gets caught up in the, you know, military, you know, raids or whatever like that. Maybe one of them gets, you know, gets herded up with refugees, and then the other one, it gets, you know, rescued by the Fireflies, and it's maybe them searching to find each other and them dealing with their history with each other, and maybe Ellie discovering a little bit more about Ellie's past, her actual biological parents, which we never really talk about in the game at all.
They did mention that her mother did die, and she was kind of left to and entrusted with what's her name, Marlene.
Mm-hmm. Sure, but we never get to know her mom.
What her mom was like, what the relationship with Marlene was, and
what happened to her dad, you know.
Right.
I know there was a prequel comic book limited series to this, so maybe some of that is already explored in there.
It mostly just concerns sort of the events immediately before the game.
Okay.
It doesn't really go much into, where Ellie's from or what her life was like, you know.
Okay. But actually, now that we're talking about this, I guess I kind of like that idea of them getting separated, and that is the story of them trying to find each other lost in against the backdrop of this world, and maybe they have to make deals with opposite sides to find each other, but they're completely, you know, ignorant of each other's actions. So, like, maybe Ellie winds up with the Fireflies or winds up with the military, and Joel, or, you know, maybe it'd be more interesting to have Joel wind up with the Fireflies and Ellie winds up with the military, and they're searching to find each other, and they have to kind of, in order to break free from this kind of, you know, refugee status or whatever, have to make some deals and do some things. And
eventually Ellie will have to reconcile the fact that even though Joel has kind of become her surrogate father, in some respect, their relationship is kind of based on this glaring lie. And, you know, Ellie isn't an idiot, so...
No, like I said, I absolutely 100% believe that she knows Joel's
right,
lying.
Right, right. Yeah. I kind of got a sense of that as well.
Cool. But yeah, I like all these ideas. These, you know, seem pretty interesting to me anyway. We could probably ask the listeners, such as they are, to give us some feedback and see what they think too.
Sure.
Sometime here in the future, maybe talk, you know, maybe revisit that a little bit on the next episode or anything. But I like where we've taken this. Neil Druckmann, please contact us at suspendedpod@gmail.com for any royalties that you may be needing to send us in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, I think we had a it was a pretty good discussion. About what we could do with this. So I
had forgotten how fun these episodes were. It's just intellectual, you know, sort of navel gazing, but how fun that is.
Shooting the shit.
Mm-hmm. And coming up with shitty story ideas, which are, you know, I'm sure somebody will listen to this and tell us how bad we are and how you can never make Ellie older. That completely ruins the dynamic of the age, you know, relationship. I was like, oh, okay, sorry. Sorry, Neil Druckmann. Sorry for the poor impression of you, too. God, yeah. But yeah, that's about a good length for a podcast, I think.
Yeah.
So, this is Suspended License. You can find us on Twitter at @suspendedpod, I think, is the Twitter account that you set up for us.
Yes, it is.
And you can find me at Steven Strom, StevenStrom on Twitter. And Justin, where can we find you?
You can find me at The Roostar, TheRoostar.
And we have been your cherubic, dare I say, hosts. Fluttering our eyelashes and burping out our rainbow dreams of a future of The Last of Us sequel. And until next episode, I don't have an outro phrase, so we'll work on that.
I think we established, you know, 14, 15 months ago that we didn't have an outro phrase, so maybe in the next episode we can come up with one.
That'll be the plot of the next episode, is it'll be
awesome.
Us.
Discussing the outro phrase.
Mm-hmm, yeah, discussing what other podcasts have done in the past for outro phrases and what they could possibly make new ones of.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Goodbye.
Bye.